Food prices have increased over 40%, 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, bringing you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, November 20th, 2013. Well, you know, our number one topic today is going to be gold, of course, and certainly what they've done to the great price of gold. And I just want to remind so many clients and listeners who told me that if gold ever got down to $1,200, that they would back up the truck to my door and fill it with gold coins. Well, your day is here, folks. I want to see you backing up those pickup trucks and filling it with gold, because we are close to those numbers. We had gold down $30 today. We'll be talking about this, $1,246. Silver down 48 at $1,996. Platinum down $22 at $1,397, along with palladium down 10 at $715. All the markets pretty much took a beating. They actually held off the big beating until they released the October Fed minutes at 2 o'clock this afternoon. That's when everything seemed to take a dive. And, of course, Bernanke came out where the Fed minutes showed a mixed bag of messages. When to taper, when not to taper, what are we waiting for? And, you know, we hope to get here and here. Well, we already have heard Yellen saying there's not going to be any changes to any part of the tapering. So, again, I believe this is going to be a one-day wonder. We'll have to see what happens. But it did drive the U.S. dollar higher today, 0.39 at 81.06. Crude oil, 93.34. Not a lot of big changes there. The stock markets also reacted to that report. There was some economic reports today. You had the U.S. retail sales. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But they really didn't seem to impact the market as much as the release of the October minutes. You had the Dow down 66 points at 15.9. The NASDAQ was down 10 at 39.21. And the S&P was down 6 at 17.81. And, of course, with a stronger USDX, we saw the 10-year bonds, they got hit a little bit. The yield is 2.79, up 0.08. So that was pretty much it in a mixed bag. And I just want to say good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
And what's interesting, though, today, the COMEX halted trading in December gold futures for about 20 seconds today at 6:26:41 a.m. New York time. And the December contract fell about $11 within a minute before trading was suspended. And this was data that was compiled by Bloomberg. And they would not comment on the size of the trade that led to the halt. The stop logic mechanism gives traders the opportunity to provide additional liquidity. So you had this big hit early in the morning, and you have to kind of remember that at 6:26 a.m., you still have New York sleeping. European markets, they're all at lunch. So it was a good time to come in and try to break the support, which was at 12:55 on gold, and which they succeeded. But this makes the sixth large early morning private trade since April. Huge trades coming in early, private, and not a lot of information released. And of course, this is the type of impacts that we had on gold. So this makes number six since April. So you folks, yes, you can say, oh, that's just trading. You have these big guys can come in there and they can move the markets, anticipating what the Fed was going to come out and say. And perhaps maybe the Fed already released this information, maybe to this entity, to where they knew and how the markets would play out for the day. And folks, that's just plain downright manipulation. And we can't say for sure that's what happened, but at least it gives you a pretty good idea who the big buyers and who traders are that can move the markets to this degree. And then I believe, Al, also, there was another report.
Well, who do you think did this? Who do you think is responsible for pushing the price down?
Well, I mean, it could be, they wanted to break the, they're taking advantage of the, like I said, you know, somehow they were betting on what the Fed minutes were going to say today. So they had a pretty good indication of which way the market would go. So, you know, who released those Fed markets? Hey, Janet Yellen last week released her comment, her speech a day before she went to, confirmation or nomination. So, and that was never done in the history of the Federal Reserve. But she releases it a day before. It's all to impact the markets. What, that's not inside trading? Of course it is. To some degree it is. So, you know, it's but they hold these markets, so you have to know what's going on. They wanted to break it. They did. You have to remember the central banks, the central bankers hate gold. They can't do what they do with high gold prices. You cannot.
Yeah, but there's another side on this, though. This is strange because they also hate a deflating dollar.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want the dollar to be more valuable because it increases the magnitude of the debt. Right? They want inflation, and it's very difficult to cause significant inflation at the same time the indicators like gold and silver are in a decline. They indicate we're in a period of deflation, which is the last thing the Federal Reserve wants under any circumstances. So this is very strange and confusing, and there are forces at work here that have objectives and reasons, rationales that are not easily understood. What are these people really up to?
Well, I think, too, you know, they do want inflation. I think inflation is coming. However, they need to do this juggling act and maintain markets to some degree, and they need to fuel the stock market. They need to fuel these various areas, and if they need to show that we're in a going into a little bit of a depressionary short term, then that's what it will be. But long term, and that's what we have to focus on, is long term. These day-to-day manipulations and price swings in any one direction, yes, I mean, you know, gold has been hammered, but let's take a look at gold. I mean, this is the first year gold's been down in 13 years.
Yeah.
Hello, folks, what's the better investment? Let's go back to where the stock market got crushed, where it went dropped down to 6,000. Okay, it's up to 16,000. Okay, from the high of 14, you're looking about an increase of what, 15, 16, 17%, somewhere around in there? If we go back to the same time with gold, gold is still up significantly. So gold is really a great deal. It's only in the past year, it's this year, that we're going to have a down year.
Yeah. Well, I look at it and I'm, you know, I don't care if gold goes down to $1,000 an ounce. It doesn't bother me. All that means is it's easier for me to buy. I am convinced it's going upward. I don't know when, but I'm convinced it's going upward. And it's one of those things where it may be that my children or my grandchildren will one day say, you know, that old guy wasn't as dumb as we thought he was. You know, they're going to find a little box of gold there and say, golly, you know, hell was not as stupid as we thought. It might be a while before it goes up, but I don't think it's going to be. I think we're going to see. I don't care where the bottom is. It makes no difference to me. It just creates a buying opportunity, and there is going to be a moment. There has to be. The government wants, you know, you can look for, we right now I'm looking at something like 17 indicators on the screen right now, including foreign markets and the Dow Jones and crude oil and price of gold, silver, platinum, palladium. Every one of them is down except the dollar. The dollar is the only indicator on the screen I'm looking at. I'm not saying that there aren't other indicators that are up, but on the screen I'm looking at, dollar is the only one that's up today. Everything else is down to greater or lesser degree. This whole thing is about the dollar. And we know that the dollar, just since 1971, in relationship to gold, it's lost 95% of its value. That can't be an accident. That's not an occasional event. That's not a fluke. That's the trend. The dollar will continue to do what it's done for the last, not just 40 years, it's obvious, but all the way back to 1933. It will continue to go down and down, and then it'll go down further and it'll go down further. And as it does, the price of gold must go up. The dollar must go down because they have enormous unpayable debts denominated in dollars, and they must have inflation to allow them to get out from under some of the debt with a minimum amount of payment. It's one of the reasons why they should even want hyperinflation. If the debt is really on the verge of being out of control, solution, hyperinflation. We owe, who knows, $200 trillion. Okay, let's hyperinflate the currency. You effectively diminish the purchasing power of that $200 trillion down to, you know, who knows? We can pick a number, and where will it be? 100 trillion, 50 trillion, 20 trillion? I don't know. In terms of purchasing power, it'll still be, the debt will still be $200 trillion. But the value of the debt, the purchasing power of those dollar bills will perhaps be reduced to, you know, pick a number. 100 trillion, 50 trillion, 20 trillion. Hyperinflation can destroy the debt, and sooner or later they've got to repudiate the debt, either by open repudiation where they say, sorry, we can't pay all these damn debts, or they do it by inflation, and which silently, secretly, stealthily diminishes the value of the debt. Now, I'm just looking for me. I don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. And again, we're talking about fiat dollars. They always blow up. They always come to an unpleasant end. You know, I'm not interested in investing in gold because I worship gold. You understand? This is not the golden calf we're talking about. The reason I'm fascinated with gold and silver is because we have fiat dollars. Right? I'm not in gold because gold is going to guarantee my salvation. I'm in gold because it's the best alternative to fiat dollars, which I understand are going to blow up one way or another in my lifetime. So, you know, we've got these bumps in the road. Fine, we'll take a few bumps. I don't care. I'm a big boy. I can deal with it.
And you know what I said earlier today in a program, says, you know, we keep saying it's a matter of time. It's a matter of time. I get tired of hearing myself say that. But this time it's a little harder to predict the time frame because they have the ability to do what they're doing. And it's just not our country anymore. It's countries around the world that are really working all together. And so it has created this where fiat currencies in various countries before might not have lasted this long. Some have lasted longer. Than the length of time that we've been in, but many shorter time frames. They didn't have they didn't have digits and clicks to where you could move massive amounts of money around the globe in a matter of, you know, taking a deep breath. So
yeah, I guess so they didn't have that, but they didn't have the vulnerabilities that are built into the system.
True,
that's
true.
All right, they may not have had as much power as the Federal Reserve, for example, has today. In the past, they might not have been able to manipulate to the same extent. All right, we perhaps have more, government has more power to manipulate than it once did. But at the same time, government's got its neck stuck out so far that if they mess up on one thing, They lose control of this one afternoon. You know, they allegedly came close within a couple of hours of collapsing the whole system back in 2008. Within hours. Right, that's what they, that's a report on this, that the whole system could have collapsed. They were that close. All right, well, it didn't happen. You got to give them credit. They didn't allow that to happen. But still, where are we now? What makes anyone think that the system could not collapse again in a matter of hours? It's not a matter of sitting back and saying, well, we better watch our step because if we make a mistake, we might have a collapse 2 years from now. Mm-mm. If we make a mistake, we might have a collapse before the close of business today. So the whole thing, it's just stranger and stranger. It is the potential for volatility, you know, risk, danger, all of it. This is like some sort of a James Bond movie or something like that. This is, you know, there's a lot of action in this thing, and we don't know where it's going, but it's an interesting drama.
Well, we're going to be talking a little bit about investigations into the price rigging of gold, the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. They started doing examining the prices that were set in London back in March of this year. And I guess there's now a new report that's been released by the UK Financial Conduct Authority, the FCA. They're beginning to take a look at the benchmark rate for the precious metals, a more current, and that was released today also by Bloomberg and CNBC. So we'll be talking about that probably a little after the break. And Al, I just wanted to give these reports. You had the consumers, you had the retail numbers come out today. The good news is the consumers shrugged off the 16-day partial government shutdown. And they spent more money on cars and clothing and furniture, boosting the U.S. retail sales by the most in 4 months. They rose 0.4%.
And who do you suppose is responsible for this increased spending?
The ones that were laid off for 16 days.
That's exactly right. I'll bet that's the truth of the matter. They sat home. They sat home at night, and they didn't go down to the topless bars. You understand? And guess they weren't being paid for a couple of weeks there. And then when the check comes through and it's extra big, they say, whoopee, and bang, they're out there buying cars and whatever else.
It might have been a lot of those could have gotten their Christmas shopping done.
Maybe.
Absolutely. But retail sales indicates that consumers did step up their spending. And, of course, we all know their spending accounts for 70%. Of economic activity.
We're going to talk about consumers later on in the program and the difference between consumers and producers. And so we've got a couple articles there where that brings this to mind, and I've just written a little article about it that just today that I posted on my blog. And there's a danger in being a consumer. And we'll discuss that. We'll try to explore that idea, but again, a little later in the program.
And, of course, the consumer spending slowed from July through September. So, you know, again, not a lot of good numbers. We had cheaper gasoline. We talked about this last week. The consumer price index fell 0.1% last month, down from 0.2% gain in September. And, of course, the October decrease was primarily due to the 2.9% drop in gasoline costs, the largest since April. And last night while I was watching the news, I also had a late-night program last night. Here in Pennsylvania, they passed, I believe it was in the House, a transportation bill. Now, this hasn't gone through the Senate and hasn't been signed off yet, but if it goes all the way through and this gets passed into law, it will increase gasoline 28 cents per gallon. And I thought that was an extreme amount. 28 cents per gallon? That's a lot. That was almost 9% increase. It'll be a 9% increase on the gasoline per gallon here in Pennsylvania, in addition to increasing the registrations, registration fee and licensing for automobiles, just so they could fix some bridges and roads and so forth. So, you know, tax, dish it out, folks. And
yeah, no. It's part of a mentality that has. Matter of fact, we can talk a little more about this when we get back, because it is time to take our break. And we don't want Frank getting upset. We're about a half a minute late right now, taking a break, and Frank is very particular about these things. So, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
Hey, we got a special on Men's State 62, $20 Liberties or Saints. We have a mixture. It's our selection, but they're beautiful coins. A lot of nice mixed dates, especially on the Saints. And even the Liberties, there's a lot of pre-1900s. And with each coin, you'll receive a 1 ounce 2013 Silver Eagle for $1,450. So make sure you give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. At that price, we're looking, it's pretty much at wholesale price. For those coins. And we have a very limited amount of those. I think we only have about 10 of them at that price. So the first callers, first call, you'll win the big prize, 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And the late night listeners, give us a call. We'll hold out a few of the coins for the late night listeners if they want to make a purchase of the Mint State 62 $20 gold pieces with a 1 ounce free Silver Eagle.
Okay. And, what do we want to do next, Melody?
And I just wanted to remind the listeners also, Silver Eagles, you got a great price drop, and premiums are moving up. We only have two more release dates for 2013 Silver Eagles from the U.S. Mint. And there will be no more release dates until January 14th. And then they will release them on an allotment per dealer. So I expect premiums to rise. At this point in time, there are no delays in shipping. But we certainly could see things, you know, the first part of January and until they actually get released, you know, maybe a little bit of delays, but nothing as of now. So only the only thing that's being affected is the premium from wholesalers. I've kept my price the same. I'm not increasing my prices. My price increase only reflects wholesale increases. So if you're today's the day to do it, folks, give us a call.
At what number?
800-375-4188.
I'm glad you said that because I didn't remember right off the top. I was having a hard time remembering, Molly. I've only said that number what? How many times do you suppose I've said that number?
Probably only a fraction of the amount of time that I've said it.
Probably so. All right, what's next?
Well, we were talking about the transportation bill and the 28 cents per gallon here in Pennsylvania if all that transportation bill gets passed and signed off by the governor. And that's almost a 9% increase. It's huge. It's huge.
Well, yeah, I agree it's huge, but how fast will it happen all at once, or will it be eased in 2 or 3% today and another 4% tomorrow and so on, or a week from now and whatever?
Well, they didn't talk anything about easing, and so, I mean, if it's a transportation bill and they need the money, that will go into effect fairly quickly.
Yeah, I understand. Well, yeah, what's it mean? It just, it's another indication that certainly governments are financially stressed, a lot of them, probably most of them. It would be, you probably have a difficult time. I wonder how many states there are in the union that can truly be said to be financially solvent right now. I wonder how many are there. And it might be, who knows, it might be 30 of them. I don't know. It might be 10. I don't know how many are solvent. But there are a number that are stressed. Not insolvent, but stressed. And California has been. Pennsylvania may be. Michigan might be. Illinois. You know, they ought to just cut that thing loose from the, cut that thing loose on the eastern borders of Illinois and float it down the Mississippi. They've got a lot of stress out there in Illinois and certainly in Chicago and so on. Sooner or later, one of these events is going to trigger things. And no one will be able to predict what it is, and it'll come out of, you know, it'll come from a direction we may not expect or anticipate, and all of a sudden, oh my gosh, the dominoes start tipping. So we'll watch and see. In the meantime, we will prepare best we can. Again, we live in unstable times. It's incumbent on all of us to do what we can to prepare to survive and get by as best we can in the event that things become really volatile and unpleasant. And part of that preparation, again, involves gold. So what else have we got to talk about now, Melody?
Well, we were going to talk about the investigation.
Yeah, okay. Gold, there's gold benchmark price review launched. This is at CNBC is the source on this information. Again, gold has joined the list of global assets and indexes under review by the United Kingdom financial regulator. All right, the UK Financial Conduct Authority has begun a preliminary look at the benchmark rate for precious metal. This is according to a report by Bloomberg. The source forms part of a wider scrutiny by officials to find out how global benchmarks are set. All right, now we talk about global benchmarks, or they're talking about global benchmarks, and the average person is probably going to say, what are they talking about, global benchmarks? What are we talking about right now, Melody? Can you give folks an example of a global benchmark?
Well, I'm not quite
London
sure what you're referencing to. What you're referencing
London, to. London, 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 the London Gold Fix. London's five biggest bullion banks, Societe Generale, Barclays, Deutsche Bank, HSBC, and Scotiabank, create a common price for gold, and they do it twice a day. And this, they are fixing the price of gold twice a day in London. That's one of them. Now, who gives these five banks the right to say what the market price of gold is supposed to be? And that's what they're essentially doing. And now people have finally reached a point where they're going to begin to have some sort of an investigation. All right, we'll find out how great this investigation is going to be. But the fact that they're having one at all is remarkable. And here's part of the article. It says the price set at the London Gold Fix is used by refineries and mining companies to value their inventories, as well as the Bank of England. Smaller coin dealers and gold jewelry manufacturers also use the benchmark, and it's also used by gold derivative markets to put a price on gold derivatives, such as futures, swaps, and options. Well, that relationship to derivatives is at least suspicious. Right? It's the sort of thing, they're talking about derivatives, they're talking about paper gold. They're setting the price. Today, they are going to determine what the price of paper gold is. They're not setting, really, the price of physical gold, although physical gold follows, and people assume that physical gold's price is the same as paper gold, but what they're really doing is establishing the price of paper gold. And it's not being done by the free market. It's being controlled. It's being manipulated. And here's part of the article. Let's see. Last year, Ned Leyland, a director at investment management firm Cheviot, told CNBC that he suspected that gold may have been manipulated, like the London Interbank Rate or LIBOR, over a long time frame. I'm shocked, I tell you, Melody. And he goes on, he says, a number of the big commercial banks have very large short positions, which they like to manage and make easy money from. Now, this is what this guy told CNBC. And all he's saying is that the big banks have been managing the price of gold in order to take advantage of very large short positions, and they make gold go down in order to take advantage of their shorts. That's all. They're making money off it. He's saying, we know this. Right? This isn't a mystery. The only thing that's a mystery is why it takes so long to try to make government do the right thing and investigate these criminal acts. And that's all it is. It's a racket. It's a criminal conspiracy to suppress the price of gold, defy the free market, and rob innocent people, because that's what's really happening. They drop the price of gold artificially in defiance of reason and reality. And ordinary people look and say, well, the price of gold's got to go up. And these guys say, no, we'll get them. They think the price is going to go up, and we'll push it down, and we'll make a fortune. And they do. Well, insofar as we are now seeing the beginning of an investigation, right? One in England. We don't know that the investigation will amount to much more than wrist slaps, but it might. And when we see one investigation by some outfit in England, it may not be too long before we see another investigation by some agency here in the United States. And the implication on all of this is that the people who have been manipulating the gold market in order to make a profit for themselves, and especially by means of suppressing the price of gold, the implication is that their days are numbered. One way or another, we have begun the hunt for these people. And the hunt may not be successful in the next 90 days or 180 days, but one way or another, this scheme and conspiracy is going to be exposed. And when it is, these guys are going to have to pretty much stop manipulating the gold market. And when they do, that means the price of gold is going to go up to a free market price rather than a price set by market manipulators. And when that happens, I'm going to be one of the people that are sitting back and say, yippee, yippee. You know, we talk about this on a regular basis. You want to get rich, you buy low and you sell high. And if you're buying low, you are necessarily buying when the price is, that's what it means, price is low. But you're buying not only because the price is low, but because nobody else is buying. And you sell when everybody else wants it. And that's when the price is highest. Well, we're certainly at a time right now that fits that low relative to gold. We're having, people are just sitting back and they are reluctant saying, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I want to take a chance or not. If you're going to get, if you are of the mindset where you buy low and you sell high, now's the time to buy.
You know, Al, I think one of the interesting, like I've said, I think one of the biggest scandals ever was the rigged LIBOR. And even that article says over $300 trillion of financial contracts around the world was involved. I mean, I just can't believe that a few people, well, governments were involved, that's why, few get some fines because of their involvement in this scandal. I mean, to me, $300 trillion, to me, that's just staggering.
Of course it's staggering, but what else does it prove? What else does it indicate? It indicates that the corruption is systemic. We're not talking about just one crazy guy. Yeah, they had that problem. I don't remember. It's probably about 5 years ago. some Englishman working on one of the branches of an English bank down in Asia, if I recall correctly. He did something strange down there, and he very nearly collapsed the bank. All right, you had one guy. All right, very nearly collapsed one of the major English banks. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about somebody got away with $20 billion or $100 billion. We're talking about $300 trillion, which is something like four times the gross domestic product for the whole world. You can't have that much money moving around in a criminal conspiracy without the complicity of governments. This isn't your conventional, you know, hackers or something that did this that are on the outside living in a little room someplace. They figured a way to... This is the government itself. They're all in on this. And it is, for me, it's another one of those indications that the system can't go on forever. This kind of corruption cannot survive. It must just blow up in everybody's face before it's all over. It can't continue. It's too big. It's too... ingrown into the cult of government, the society itself. This is going to be a firestorm when it finally breaks loose. And when will that happen? I don't know. Melody told me she knows, but she's not telling. She's not telling her to save it for a surprise. So we're going to have to watch and see what she does. Keep an eye on her and see if she's buying or selling or. What does Melody do if she backs her own pickup up to the door to start buying gold coins? It's time to get yours. Get as much as you can. So we'll keep an eye on Melody's pickup truck. That's what we'll do. How's that, Melody?
That sounds good.
We'll put a GPS tracker on your truck, and we'll find out if you're backing up to any loading docks where they deliver.
Just call the NSA.
Uh-huh. Well, that's right. They can keep an eye on you, too.
All righty. I've
got 45 seconds till we break.
Yeah, we'll be talking. I think tomorrow we'll talk a little bit about Obamacare. I saw an analysis that came out today where 50 to 100 million insurance cancellations are still coming. And I guess the computer crashed while Sebelius was trying to sign some people up at a media event. The site actually crashed. And Obama's ratings are going lower and lower through all this. But
that means he may not be renewed. You know,
but
in any case, we'll take a break here. And
right.
I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. Be right back. Please stay tuned.
countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku-band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
We're looking forward, just, you know, bringing in about Obamacare for just a little bit.
Obamacare is never going to be over, Melody. There's never going to be actual Obamacare for the American people. We'll never actually have any, but we're never going to stop talking about it. It will be 20 years from now. We'll still be talking about Obamacare.
I won't.
Yes.
But you got something about the perks are easing their way in health plans for lawmakers?
Yeah, that's one. New York Times, perks ease way in health plans for lawmakers. Members of the Congress like to boast that they'll have the same health care enrollment experience as constituents struggling with the bulky federal website, because the law they wrote forced lawmakers to get the coverage from the new insurance exchanges. Exchanges. That's true. As long as the constituents have access to in-person support sessions like the ones being conducted at the Capitol and congressional office buildings by the local exchanges and four major insurers, or if you can log on to special Blue Cross and Blue Shield websites for members of Congress and use special toll-free telephone numbers and dedicated congressional health insurance plan assistant on the dedicated congressional health insurance plan assistance line. And what they're just talking about is this: they are making Obamacare, if there's one group of people that can perhaps get Obamacare with a minimum amount of fuss, it will be the Congress and their staff. They will not be inconvenienced. The rest of the great unwashed, and that includes you and me and everybody else in the audience right now, if we're going to sign up for this, we're going to have to quite possibly go through a lot of aggravation. This may be more trouble to get into Obamacare than it is to figure out how to file your income taxes. So we'll watch and see. But it's wrong that the government gets a special deal. It's the sort of thing that the Constitution actually prohibits. It said there should be no titles of nobility. Federal government can't issue titles of nobility, and the states can't issue titles of nobility. And very few people understand what that means. It means an advantage or privilege that some groups have that other groups do not.
It essentially means the title of nobility, the prohibition on titles of nobility, means that we can't treat one group differently from another. If we pass a law, it's got to apply to everyone equally. It's completely contrary. The concept of title of nobility, completely contrary and opposed to, adversarial to, the idea of special interest legislation. Nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to do anything about it. But the founders, they put it in the Constitution for a reason. They put it in there to say, look, this is the way you prevent the government from passing laws that favor one group at the expense of another. Got to make the laws equal for everyone. But because we are too, as a people, we are too lazy, too poorly educated, too ignorant, too complacent, too apathetic, too whatever, to actually read the Constitution and understand it, the government has been able to get away with laws. That, for example, in this instance, at least this is an illustration. I won't even, because this may not be the function of law so much as agencies providing a special deal for Congress, but it still illustrates the idea of titles of nobility. Congress is getting better treatment than you and I are. It's wrong. Should be the same for everybody. Titles of nobility would stop that if the American people understood what titles of nobility were and if the American people stood up and complained in a meaningful way. No. And I hope you do. Hope this is your perhaps a first introduction to the concept of titles of nobility. And I don't expect people to go running down and, you know, sending off telegrams and emails to everyone complaining about titles of nobility, but it sensitizes you. A presentation like this gives you a little sensitivity to the concept. A year from now, 18 months, 2 years from now, you may hear of it again, and you'll say, yeah, I know what he's talking about. I don't know. These are something that shouldn't be. Government shouldn't be passing a law that applies to some people but not to others. And they do it all the time. In fact, if government couldn't pass special interest legislation, more than likely you could shut the government down for probably 9 or 10 months out of the year. Or at least the Congress. Not the whole government, but the Congress. They would need to meet more than 2 months out of the year. Settle whatever problems they have and be gone. If you couldn't pass special interest legislation, there would be little or no need to have Congress. They could probably knock off for a couple of years at a time and no one would notice. What else, Melody?
Well, politics wasn't meant to be a full-time job, my understanding.
It's not a job, it's an adventure, Melody.
I mean, it wasn't supposed to be a career, I should say. Maybe I'm just thinking more of local politics and so forth, but even then, it was something that it was a more of a donating your time, your efforts, and
now they're donating the public's money. See, it used to be that the politicians would donate their time to the public, and now they've arranged where the public is going to donate their cash to the congressman.
Somebody's
donating, all right? Better to be the donee than the donor. So.
What's next, Al?
I don't know. We've got consumers versus producers. Something we can talk about perhaps for a few minutes here. It's something I just wrote a little article about earlier today. Here's an article from the New York Times. The headline, in places like North St. Louis, gunfire still rules the night. And they go, they open up with some stories about St. Louis and a certain amount of human interest here. And they talk about Mr. Wayne lives in a poor, mostly black community, where, as in similar neighborhoods across America, residents are fed up with persistent gun violence. Now, this is just interesting to me and kind of amusing on one level. I don't mean to say that gun violence is funny. But the report is going to try to pin the rap on guns. All right, got a problem going on in North St. Louis, and it must be the fault of guns. And I'm going to tell you the problem is the fault of, in my opinion, an over-concentration of consumers as opposed to producers.
The article continues. It says victims die one by one or in clusters in Chicago. 23 people were shot in a matter of hours in September, 13 of them in a park gang-related attack. Three died. What I'm trying to get to is when we talk about a ghetto, when we talk about a slum, we talk about a community that is impoverished, we try to blame other people besides that community. It's not unusual to say, oh, if it's a black community, it's because the white people are doing something wrong, they're racist, they're bigots, or whatever. What we're looking at, when you see at a community that's impoverished, you are looking at a community that has far more consumers than producers. And the truth is, we are all consumers. Every one of us, even if you're in a coma, all right, and you have no brain waves, as long as you have a pulse, as long as your heart's beating, you're a consumer. Your body needs food, it needs water, there's things that have to be done as long as you have a heartbeat. You don't need brain waves, but you got a heartbeat, you're a consumer. All of us are consumers, but only some of us are producers. And producers are people who actually produce more than they consume. And it's easy to use, you know, to see that definition in the sense of farmers, for example. Farmer's a producer. He's got 500 or 1,000 acres of corn. He's not going to eat all that corn. He produces 1,000 acres of corn, and he and his family, over the course of a year, might eat a half acre of corn. What are they going to do with all the rest? Well, they sell it. They are producers. They're consumers, too, but we call them producers because they produce more than they consume. And most of the people we talk about as consumers, they produce something, but they don't produce as much as they consume. So it's a balanced situation. If you consume more than you produce, you're a consumer. If you produce more than If you consume more than you produce, you're a consumer. If you produce more than you consume, you are a producer. And what we see in the ghettos, what we see in the impoverished communities, is an overabundance of consumers. That's what really happens there. They don't produce enough to feed themselves. How do they survive? They wind up predating on each other. If I'm not producing enough to pay my bills, how am I going to get enough money to pay the rent, pay the bills? How do I survive? One way or another, I've got to predate on somebody. I've got to hustle somebody. I've got to con them. I've got to sign up for welfare. I've got to sign up for entitlements. I've got to sign up for subsidies. And the people that are complaining in, what do you say, North St. Louis? There's too much gunfire. What there is not enough producers. And it's a serious problem. There's too many consumers. And if this argument is valid, that I'm trying to present here, if this is a valid argument, then it does not bode well for a nation that depends. It says 70% of the economy is based on consumers. That's crazy. That's crazy. It can't be. We're saying the 2 out of 3 people in this country, we're not quite saying it, but we're implying the 2 out of 3 people in this country are consumers rather than producers. We're saying that the 1 man out of every 3 who's a producer is forced to support 2 who are consumers. That's an implication. It's not an absolute fact, but it's an implication. It cannot continue. It won't survive. And part of the problem is if you have succumbed to the consumer mentality, if you've become a government dependent, you lost your job, you go out and now you're on welfare, you're on unemployment, all right? At first, it's a little embarrassing. After a while, you start thinking, hey, this is pretty cool. I don't even have to show up for work anymore. I just get a check in the mail. It does seem pretty cool. But I'm going to argue that it is a dangerous, dangerous mentality to sit back and allow yourself to be a dependent.
It's a dangerous, dangerous mentality, and the dependent and consumer are pretty much two of them. Two words mean the same thing. It's a dangerous thing to become just a consumer, predominantly a consumer, somebody who's relying on credit and welfare and entitlements and subsidies. And I'll get the money someplace. I don't earn it myself, you understand, but I'll get it from someplace so I can buy a new car, a new house. I can have everything I want, and I don't actually have to work for it. It's going to blow up in everybody's face, and it will reduce entire communities to what we are describing up in North St. Louis. And Detroit is another one. An overabundance of consumers. That's what the problem is in Detroit. The place in parts of it, it looks like it's been bombed out after World War II. It's gone down because too many consumers, not enough producers, and what I'd recommend to people. I'd warn you that first off, I think there's going to be a time when we're going to discover that we can't afford to continue to support the consumers of this country. And when that time rolls around, the consumers are going to be in dire straits. The government's not going to be able to support them. They're not going to know how to support themselves. What are they going to do? They'll predate on each other the same way they do in Detroit and North St. Louis. That's what they'll do. It'll become a kind of cannibalistic environment where people rob anybody who's got anything. It'll be robbed by the remainder of the people until you finally just run out of victims. You run out of complete, the producers are all gone, they're left, they're tired of being victimized. And what happens to the consumers? My argument is that if you are a consumer, if you are consuming more than you produce, you've got to make an adjustment. You've got to sit back and figure out either how to make more money. You have to work harder. You have to work smarter. You need a new job, a different job, a second job. You got to do whatever you do, whatever you can do, in order to produce more than you consume. And if you can't produce more, then you have to consume less. You've got to find a way to live within your means. You don't have to be a billionaire to be a producer. If you gross $10,000 a year, you can be a producer, provided that you live on $8,000 a year. Save two. Yeah, you're down in poverty, I get that, but you're still a producer. I think it's part of a mindset that people have to embrace. I think it's something we have to start thinking about. It's something we have to consider when the government says we have a consumer-based economy. I think it's nothing but dangerous. I think it's self-destructive. I think it's suicidal. And in the end, consumerism is going to hurt us hard. Those of you that have the wherewithal to ensure that you are producers, I'm simply recommending that you make sure that happens. Find a way to live within your means. Produce more, consume less, become a producer. I'm Alfred Addis. This is Financial Survival. I want to thank all of you for listening. Melody and I will be back mañana. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.